security issues and the work that the public safety has done on at the Yukon Bridge is the increasing of the Fox Way Station to a 24/7 to review the or look at those commercial vehicles that are going through, specifically in the area of transporting of hazardous materials. And so that's what those two items are in the Category 1. Category 2, dealing with those things that, those items that could jeopardize federal dollars, we have law enforcement presence at the Fairbanks and Anchorage International Airports, number 19 and 20, or 19, let me see, 20 is control system, so it's 19 and, where did we go with 20, or the Anchorage? Is both of them? Oh, Anchorage and Fairbanks. Sorry, I didn't read all of it. That requirement for visibility of the law enforcement presence at those airports, and we are receiving some federal dollars for that through a special grant, and then the remainder coming from international airport revenue.
So that would be Fairbanks and Anchorage primarily, true.
Right. It would be just for those two.
19 and 20, and what's the federal grant on that?
That there is a that was from the $175 million grant.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there was a special appropriation through the Department of Defense to reimburse airports for security-related functions.
And that was, we had applied for grants under that appropriation and had received full funding from our request that was allowable under that grant for our rural airports and a portion of our Fairbanks and international airports. Actually, number 20 is a capital project for the Ted Stevens Anchorage International Airport for control systems. This is to provide more appropriate control systems for the airport in line with the security needs that we need to provide. And that, it, that again, is mostly federal dollars. That's through the regular entitlement program. That is not special federal dollars, but it is federal funding and then international airport revenue funds to match that.
So that's what, when you say one time, it is a grant?
This is an entitlement from our entitlement program, right, through the airport improvement program. Federal Aviation
That's separate from the International Airport Revenue Fund.
Right.
That's a
the
whole different.
The International Airport Revenue Fund is a fund that the state has that's, that is made up of those funds that are collected from landing fees, concession fees, fuel flowage fees of the international airports, Anchorage and Fairbanks. It goes into that fund. So it's the airlines and the users of the airports basically pay into that fund. It's separate from.
But it is a federal fund.
It's not federal. No.
It is not.
Not federal.
So it's the state manages that.
State, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. See, I misunderstood that, and that's why I got it mixed up with the federal entitlement.
Right, right. The federal, if you look in the breakdown there, $12 million in federal funds and $803,000 in other funds. Those other funds are the international airport funds, and those are used to match the federal receipts. Okay?
Thank you.
Then we have a request for the communications equipment, and that's 21, 22, and things kind of got a little mixed up here, so we're trying to find where the rest of that is.
36.
21 and 36?
21.
22 and 36.
22 and 36 are all communication equipment required for us to deal with the National Guard or TSA or whoever it is going to be dealing with the security screening points and our own security people. And we need to have that communication. And again, most of that, especially in the rural airports on 36, is going to be federal funds. There will be some slight international airport revenue funds for the international airports on that, but that's what that communications equipment is.
Mr. Chairman, that's 100% federal funding.
I see that. Yeah, I see that. And that's what I'm trying to go through to make sure that if there is any nixing of any of these things, that we don't harm you. And that's why I wanted, in the short time we have, to begin that discussion. And then I'd like to come back again Tuesday and finish the discussion.
Right.
And I don't think we're going to get to Department of Health today, so 1,000 pardons. I didn't expect the last bill to take as much time as we did discussing it. I expected we'd have almost 2 hours to discuss this, and sorry.
Yeah.
But that's life in the legislature. Anyway,
certainly.
Thank you.
Line 23, Project 23, is a capital project for some reconfiguration at the Anchorage and Fairbanks airports for in the terminals for security requirements. And do you want to talk about that?
Well, okay. Essentially, Mr. Chairman, what has happened since 9/11 with the Aviation and Transportation Security Act and the revisions to the airport security regulations, it's put provisions onto the airports to reconfigure some of their terminal space to be able to.
So traffic flow,
traffic
signage.
Such as the screening checkpoints, such as signage, such as proximity, such as looking at where the explosive detection devices are going to actually end up and how that would impact the terminal structure.
All right. Please continue then. I think that's a good explanation.
Okay. Then 24, 25, and 26 are some operating costs, and these are specifically related again to that law enforcement presence at the rural this is just for the rural airport. As you'll notice, some of those are federal dollars. That's part of what I was talking about in those grant funds that we had received from that $175 million pot of money from the Department of Defense. They only are going to be able to cover through September of this year, so the remainder, we will have to continue that, but they're not going to cover it, so there's some general fund dollars in there also.
Just on the waiver issue, are all the airports at the same place? Is there a consistency? And what's the timing on the waiver?
Mr. Chairman, the airports in the security programs are categorized based on employment. Anchorage is a Category 1 airport. Fairbanks and Juneau are Category 2 airports. And then the rural system are Category 3 airports. The waiver that we have sought here is essentially for the rural Category 3 airports. That was a combined waiver. I met last week with the Undersecretary of Transportation to speak specifically on that waiver request because of the importance to air commerce to Alaska. We hope to hear before May 10th, which is the deadline when we must have law enforcement at the screening checkpoints, that we will be granted the waiver. Otherwise, we'll be in.
Would that change these numbers?
If we are granted the waiver, it would likely, yes, it would change the numbers for the remainder of 03. We have expended funds previously.
So the timing on that that you need to hear back from them is?
Hopefully today, certainly by May 10th.
Okay.
And if we don't receive the waiver, then we have additional, at least, actually, dollars could go up.
Could go up quite considerably. I mean, if we look at deploying the National Guard, the cost estimates range from $600,000 to $800,000 per month. And the federal reimbursement for law enforcement officers at the screen checkpoints is $50,000 per year per officer. So there's not sufficient funds coming from the federal government to cover those type of costs. I think that we gained some headway last week when General Oates and I were able to talk to the Undersecretary to define the importance to the rural system of air commerce and our ability with the threat levels that may be out in some of our rural communities that likely will be granted this request for alternate procedures.
We also have, in those Category 3 airports, we have significant inability to secure some of those places, don't we?
Mr. Chairman, if you're talking about the local police force and their capabilities for...
The capability of the police force and the ability to secure a building without having to build fences and create barriers.
Mr. Chairman, you're correct in the inability, the size of the local police forces are relatively small and their ability to handle large events would be difficult.
Being, I was raised in a 180 and a 206, and there's so many of the villages, the airport and the building are out in the open. There's no way that you can securitize some of those airports.
In the Category 3 airports, there's only 17, is it about seven, 17 airports that we're talking about. And so there are certificated airports. The rest of the airports that we have, the other 245 of that we have, are not subject to these requirements. So if you're talking about, we're talking in the area of Bethel, Kotzebue,
right. Bethel,
Cordova,
and Barrow.
We're not
Randall,
talking about the smaller airports, the ones with the airfields and the.
That's what I was envisioning in Category 3.
Not yet, Mr. Chairman. Let me explain that the focus of TSA has been primarily on those airports that have security requirements based on the size of aircraft flying in, which is essentially 60 passenger seats and greater.
Now, for those,
they are looking at general aviation security, and they have yet to promulgate regulations on general aviation security, and we are very concerned that what federal requirements would come down on general aviation security. As you mentioned, how do we secure 206 on the far ramp at Iliamna? Very difficult.
TSA stands for?
Transportation Security Administration.
For those who have to type this stuff up, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, it is the new agency that was developed after the Aviation and Transportation Security Act that was signed by the President in November. It is a part of the Federal Department of Transportation.
Thank you. And that answered my question on the waiver. It's obviously a fluid discussion. And, of course, the dollars will be in accordance with wherever that ends, I take it. Please continue.
Project number 27 is a capital project at the International Airport in Anchorage, and it's dealing with blast assessment and explosive deflection devices. So it's looking at strengthening the windows, doing some constructing some deflection devices that would that could be used instead of having the requirement of the 300-foot setback for the parking, and as I'm sure you're well aware of that issue.
Is that going to happen in the Category 2 airports eventually? I mean, is that something that's in the view?
Mr. Chairman, yes, each of the airport categories has the ability to seek or conduct a blast deflection analysis and then seek a waiver from the new Transportation Security Administration for that. Fairbanks and Anchorage, and I believe Anjuno, have currently done that. They are doing those analyses and are waiting to get back the results and then seek the waiver from the Freedom of Assessment.
And actually, I was thinking Juno is Category 2, but it's not.
Juno is a Category 2, and it must also do a blast.
That's what I was thinking. All right, thank you.
Category 3s have been exempted from this.
And again, that's federal fund with international airport revenue funds matching it. 28 and 29 are dealing with the additional costs associated with the increased law enforcement presence at the Anchorage and Fairbanks International Airport. And that includes some of the federal dollars, as I said before, that grant funding that we have received.
Is that what the other is under the granting process? The $363,000?
That's international airport revenue funds.
And same with the $1,000,001? The other funds are $1,141,000?
Oh,
I'm sorry. I skipped down a line.
Sorry. The 424.5 for Anchorage and the 363.8
right.
for
yes.
Fairbanks.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Number 30 is actual modification of the existing and new terminals concerning, and if you're familiar with the large CTX machines that they have in some of the airports now that are being required for luggage to be run through for explosive devices or whatever may be in them. Those are very large pieces of equipment. Don't ask me what CTX stands for. I don't know. but there, we are scheduled to get one, or actually two, in Anchorage. Four in Anchorage? Boy, that increased.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the TSA is the governing agency that is determining which explosive detection systems will be placed at the nation's airports, and they are making their determination on just which technology they will deploy to the airport. So the large explosive detection systems that Nancy described, CTX is a brand name, has a fairly slow throughput of baggage, or as compared to what you've seen as the swipe-type, portable-type machines. The CTX machines are very large, they are very heavy, and they're very cumbersome, and the Transportation Security Administration has yet to determine where we will place that in the passenger flow, whether it's before you get to the terminal agent, whether it's after, or whether it's way down in the baggage screening area. So really, it depends on where that machine goes on how much it's going to cost us to modify the terminal space. It's a very expensive and very costly endeavor, and it's going to be unfortunate, but all the airports around the country that receive these machines are looking at literally billions of dollars of terminal modifications to accommodate these machines.
And so this is a request for mostly federal dollars, some international airport revenue funds to match it, to make those terminal modifications to accommodate those pieces of equipment, because it is going to be major undertaking at the airport.
Yeah, tell you what I'm going to do. I will include all the Category 1, but when we come back Tuesday, I'm going to ask you to help me go through the Category 2 and 3. I think it's just Category 2.
And as I said, Category 3 has some responses to federal requirements, so you may want to highlight. You may want to highlight that.
I'm debating on whether I want to have a Saturday meeting or not to do this, and I'm trying to think. There's a lot of discussion. I see unanimous consent happening in a room. All right, then Tuesday. But I would like to justify some of the Category 3 items in here.
Could I have in here, there was a lot of things that you had to contract out. And could I have, I don't know if there were any more employees needed for the regular stuff, but with the contract, I know that we're really hiring people, but we're contracting out. Could you give us numbers of how many employees altogether we are going to be needing to put all this in place?
In a contract, you think?
Well, either one.
Contract employees and our own employees?
Yeah. Any the numbers of extra ones.
How many new employees because of contracting? Would you want state employees? Because once you do a contract, it's a one-time deal. I think most of these are one-time funds, for example.
Lots of times contracted ones, they continue from year to year.
True. In security issues.
Back and forth, we've covered the cost of an additional city policeman in Wrangell for a certain period of time, but we're not doing it any longer. And so there's because of the requirements, we no longer have to have that individual. And so
I don't care about the temporary ones, but any the numbers where you think that they will be ongoing.
Permanent state employees?
Or
the amount of permanent state employees, is that what you're looking for? New hires. All right. And probably, to be fair, how many of them are going to be federally funded, and how long does that federal dollar stay with them? Probably something we're going to have to look at. And with that, I'll have you first up then Tuesday on this bill. And we didn't get as far as I thought we would, quite frankly. So I will be touch with you on how I might put together the CS so that we don't have to go through the weeding process necessarily, but just through the discovery process. All right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to go to the floor. This meeting is adjourned.